This is Jay Sekulow. Another tragedy in Egypt. ISIS attacks Coptic Christians.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
According to reports coming out of Egypt, two buses and a truck were attacked by a team of militants, maybe as many as 10 or so militants with weapons, wearing masks and also military-style uniforms. Now, the gunmen stopped the vehicles along this desert road and opened fire, killing at least 28 people. That number has continued to rise in the last few hours and still could go up even higher with a lot of wounded.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The situation in Egypt has continued to get worse, not only in large across the entire community of Muslims and Christians, but particularly for Egypt's Christian community.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Well, again, starting the beginning of the broadcast with a tragic report. And this is militants in military-style uniforms, but it now appears to be either members of the Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or an Islamic cell group attacked Coptic Christians in central Egypt, killing upwards of 28. Now, we know the Coptic community very well because Jordan's done a lot of work with the Coptic Christians around the globe, and we have a lot of friends that are Coptic. And this is, again, a targeted event specifically aimed at Christians. This one in Egypt, but it tells you the nature of what is exactly happening here.
And just in Egypt alone, since April, so we're just talking about for a couple of months, 74 Coptic Christians have been killed, targeted by, last time around, it has been the Islamic State. They have usually claimed responsibility. So this attack, they have not yet officially claimed responsibility, but I have a feeling that is coming. This comes on the attack yesterday came on the eve of, today came on the eve of Ramadan. So this is, again, if you look back in history, more recent history there, you've seen these kind of attacks, but they have become more and more extreme, targeting the Christians in Egypt, a community which has been faced some government persecution when it comes to building churches, but for the most part was able to kind of get by as a unique. They have their own language. It's a community separate from Arab Egyptians.
Yeah.
And now they are facing genocidal like actions, and we're seeing even in a strongman led government with Al-Sisi at the helm of Egypt, the Egyptian authorities not doing enough. Remember the bombings at the Coptic, you know, for Easter? So again, the Egyptian authorities, they knew that this group was traveling and they weren't there to protect them. And just like the terrorist attack in Manchester, there's a roundup after the fact.
And it's always the after effect or the after attack roundup that it's again. I want to go proactive on the front end. By the way, there is more questions being raised in Manchester, and that's because now it appears that not only was this individual, Salman Abdi, on a terrorism watch list, but that they had called terrorism watch lines to point out the concern within the community. So then you ask yourself, was this now a failure of intelligence? So we've got to be proactive in how we engage this issue, both domestically and internationally. I think the president's, what we're calling the Trump doctrine on this, which is drive them out of your houses of worship, drive them out of the communities, drive them out of your lands, drive them out of existence. That needs to be the way the world addresses, and that includes the Muslim world, and they said that yesterday, addresses this issue. All right, we're going to take your calls on this issue, on Manchester, on the latest on the Russia investigations here, and who's going to testify, who's not going to testify. And it's a Friday. We're going to take your calls. Again, as we get ready to celebrate Memorial Day and to thank the families of the men and women that have given their lives defending our freedom. A huge thank you from all of us at the ACLJ on that. We'll take your calls and comments when we come back. Logan?
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. About four lines still open, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope, broadcasting live there right now. Facebook.com/JaySekulow or Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. But again, phone lines are open and your voice needs to be heard. 1-800-684-3110.
Also, we're down to literally the last couple days of the month here, and that means your support of the ACLJ is critical as we try to reach our goal for the month of May. Go to ACLJ.org. Your donations make a huge difference. Tax deductible. ACLJ.org for that. We'll take your calls when we come back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Well, tragedy strikes again at the hands of Islamists. This time in Egypt, 28 dead. The significance of this is this takes place after Palm Sunday. Andy Economo, Dr. Andrew Economo, is, of course, senior counsel for the ACLJ. You have been one that's talked often, Andy, about the fact that the Islamists are very specific about place and time.
That's right.
So let's talk about, I mean, even in Manchester, they aimed it at, targeted directly at children. So they're very conscious of where they're targeting. So in Egypt, with the Coptic Christian community, which is about 10% of the population.
That's right.
What are we looking at in your paradigm of place and time?
Well, I mean, we have to realize that we are now out of the Easter season, and yesterday, Thursday, was the day of Holy Ascension, which is the day that in the Christian calendar, Christ ascended into heaven 40 days after the resurrection. This is also the eve of Ramadan in the Islamic tradition. What these militants, these terrorists targeted was a group of Christians who were on a bus, Coptic Christians, the native Christian population of Egypt, who were on a bus going to the St. Samuel Monastery on a pilgrimage. St. Samuel Monastery is one of the old monasteries in Egypt that is located in Minya, which is 150 miles south of Cairo in the middle of the Egyptian desert. So they were specifically targeted because they were Christians. It was on Ascension, or the day following Ascension. It was in the eve of Ramadan to show their ascendancy over the Christians. And it was aimed at the Coptic Christians of Egypt going to an ancient monastery on a pilgrimage to pray.
So there's no doubt that this was planned, targeted, and executed for this very
Absolutely.
Reason.
Absolutely. All the things that they do are intended to have significance as the day, the time, the place of when it occurs. And this was aimed directly at these Christians because it, again, is a holy time of year in the Christian calendar. Yeah.
So, Jordan, you work closely with the Coptic community. And we're going to, and by the way, we're going to talk about a variety of issues today, but we're starting with this. What's your assessment of this?
Well, I think that we can't treat this as okay because this is happening in the Middle East and not in Manchester. These were targeted Christians, not just Westerners or individuals, but people who were on a bus, as Andy said, to celebrate a Christian holiday, and it happens on the eve of Ramadan by what is likely ISIS. And it's, again, more lives lost than in Manchester, and there's no difference in those lives than the lives in the UK.
Right. All right, what are we hearing, Logan, coming in right now on Facebook? And let's we go take a phone call.
Yeah, a lot of comments are coming in.
We've comment coming from Heather. Says, Jay, do you believe we'll see more and more of this evil actions? How can we stop these terrorists?
Well, we think that what the president laid out in the plan, and do we have that soundbite where he talks about drive them out? I want to play this because I think this is, and this is important. This is a doctrinal issue. I think this is a Trump doctrine. I'm meeting with the president next week on a variety of matters, and I'm going to bring this up because I think the president's statement, which was a great statement, also points out the nature of how we have to approach this. Listen to what the president said on this. Very important.
A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land. And drive them out of this earth.
And this, I don't care whether it's Manchester, Boston, or Egypt. This is, when you talk about driving them out of your place of worship, that's the mosque. And we know in the situation in Manchester, for instance, that there were numerous reports about this guy in the mosque where they were making reports saying we're concerned about this guy being radicalized. So this is part of the driving them out. But I think if you look at that, the communities also have to take responsibility. Now, these people in Egypt, they're on a bus. But someone knew they were going to be on that bus, Andy.
Oh, absolutely.
So there was somebody inside. We've got a picture of the bus up for those on Facebook and Periscope. You can see what's exactly going on here. So somebody knew this was happening.
Jay, you know, I have been to the monasteries in Palestine, in what is ancient Palestine, Roman Palestine, the Judean desert. And the typical way that you go, if you're a pilgrim, and I went to the monastery of St. Savas, which is 36 miles into the Judean desert, you don't go alone. You go on an organized tour. In this case, we had to take a Palestinian bus because we were coming from Jerusalem, from the Israeli territory. And how did we go? We went by bus. And everybody knew the bus that we were taking because you had to set up the time for the bus to leave. And the bus goes through various villages and towns and arrives at the monastery where the pilgrims then go in and pray. And this is exactly what happened here. This was timed and it was known when this bus was going, where it was going, and the terrorists knew exactly how to attack it.
All right. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls, Logan. We got a lot of them coming in and we'll get some comments as well.
Yep. Let's go to Carol, who's calling on line one.
Hi, Carol. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Yep.
When the Middle East leaders compliment President Trump and say he has a special personality and he'll be able to accomplish great things, are they being sincere, or do they say one thing to us and then say another thing to their people?
Well, that came from President al-Sisi from Egypt. And look, he wants a strong United States. So I think it was sincere. It was a very bold statement. I mean, I give the president a lot of a compliment for that whole tour so far. I think it's gone over very well. But in that particular case, I think you have to look at al-Sisi. Jordan has been asking for help because she's got a radical element inside his government. Yep. He had Mohamed Morsi, remember, the Muslim Brotherhood president, was president of Turkey of Egypt for a while. And then you end up with the people saying we're not going to have that. 40 million people take to the streets of Cairo and around Egypt, and he's out, and al-Sisi's in there, and al-Sisi is asking for help. And they, by the way, have a very good and strong relationship with Israel right now.
Yes, but I think that they obviously need more help because oftentimes, regardless of the intentions of the leader specifically, the security services in these countries that are predominantly Muslim are not going to risk their lives to protect Christians. That's just the bottom line, unless you basically force them to, which means that if these convoys are going out, the Egyptian military needs to start accompanying them. I mean, that's likely what needs to happen so that either, one, the terrorist groups decide they don't want to engage the Egyptian military because they can't take them on, or two, there's going to be a gunfight, and at least a fair fight between these militants. Unfortunately, people are tipping off these terrorists. They're tracking down. They're bombing the churches. Yep. This is at a much higher level. As I said, it's 74 Christians in Egypt who have been killed just since April. Targeted at Christians. So I think that in light of what happened in Manchester with 22 killed, we cannot forget, we cannot act as if these incidents are any less important to the war against terrorism and to the survival of our values as well, because this is the cradle of where these values originate. And these are the churches and the communities that have existed since the beginnings of the times of Christ.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead. And you want to take another comment, Logan, or calls? We're taking calls, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, you get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope.
Yeah, let's go to Victor, who's calling in Manhattan on line four.
Hey, Victor, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Just two quick comments and a question,
sure.
Jake. You know, since the Obama administration, they helped fester by the weak leadership of President Obama around the world. Also, the thing that I don't understand is, what can we do now? Because we need Egypt very solidly.
Yeah.
What can we do to encourage them to help us with the moderates in Egypt and with the conservatives in order to swing them? Because, Jay, without them, we really can't get much done.
Well, look, there's a couple things we're doing. I mean, you know, I had the privilege of hosting Sean Hannity's radio broadcast yesterday when I had a friend, Zudi Jasser, on talking about this. I mean, you got reformers got to come with inside of Islam. But let me tell you what we're doing, for instance. I'm holding in my hand, and our TV audience and our friends on Facebook and Periscope can see this. I'm holding in my hand a document that we have filed with the General Assembly of the United Nations from our European Center for Law and Justice, where we're intervening on the issue of genocide in Geneva to deal with this. And we're putting these documents in there because we've got to get – and what Jordan's saying is very important. It's not less significant for those 28 people that have been killed that they were outside of Cairo, as Andy said, and not in Manchester. What difference does that make? And it's the same – barbarism. It's the same acts of terror, and we have to be fully cognizant of that.
A lot of children. I mean, the first article I saw this, I tweeted out today, it was from CBS News, and it said dozens killed, many kids in attack on bus carrying Christians. Similar again to the headlines earlier this week in Manchester, which was many young people, many children, young girls. So that was what was the reports. So these headlines, one, we shouldn't get desensitized to it, and we shouldn't ignore it just because it happened in Egypt. I mean, this is, again, you can see the imagery if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope. So it's not, this is not in war-torn Syria or Iraq. This is happening in a country with a strong leadership, a very strong military, and again, they're not able to protect their minority populations, and they could be doing that. They could be doing that in Egypt if they had, if maybe the Coptic Christians don't trust the Egyptian military. There could be issues there.
Yep.
But for any means, nearly 100 Christians killed in Egypt in just the last 2 months by ISIS. And it's a lot of children, a lot of women,
it's
a lot of
battle.
Young people, and they're unprotected. And I'm sure they don't
we're
know what to do.
We're going to bat for them at the United Nations and try to bring this issue again on the genocide. All right, we're going to take more calls, Luke, when we come back from the break.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Two lines available right now. Get your voice heard. You also can put in your comments on social media. We'll take some of those during the show as well.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your comments, at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Of course, we're talking about the 28 Christians killed in Cairo yesterday, or actually today. This is almost 100 now in a couple of weeks. So this is a serious situation, and we're not drawing any difference between what happened in Manchester and what happened in Cairo. And the fact that it happened in Cairo, outside of Cairo, 120 miles south of Cairo, versus Egypt, doesn't make it versus Manchester, makes no difference. These are people that are killed because of their faith or because they just happen to be in that particular place and ISIS decided to make the attack. Coming up in the second half hour, I'm going to get into the president's executive order on travel restrictions and now going to the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll also take phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, I think we think that ISIS differentiates between a Christian tour group, Egyptian tour group in Egypt. But if you actually look at the language they used about Manchester, and to us, you know, that was not it wasn't a Christian concert. They referred to the Crusaders. They referred to the Christians. So they equate these targets. They are targeting Christians. And so whether or not everyone in Manchester is, you know, labeled a Christian, it's the Christian world they were targeting there.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the UK is still that. The Church of England is still a country that has its own church. In Egypt, it's specifically a group of Christians. They don't make that distinction so clearly like we might and say, well, one is at a concert, and certainly some people there may have been Christians, but it's, you know, the Western world. They see that Western world as the Crusaders, as the Christians that must come down, convert or die.
And historically, Andy, jihadism, Islamism like this has always viewed it the way Jordan said.
That's right. It's an East-West thing. The idea of Islam and jihad and the whole idea of the spread of Islam in the 7th century was to do all it could to eradicate Christianity and to convert the infidel. That has not changed since the 7th century, since the 600s, when the Islamic invaders took Egypt from the Christian empire, from the Byzantine Empire. And that's important to note that. And they have since then continued the persecution off and on of Christian minorities through the centuries. Yep. That's not going to stop, Jay.
No.
It's not going to stop. And let me just say this. When our president gets up and says, as he did, driven out, and he repeats it 4 and 5 times, this is the leadership that President Trump has shown on behalf of the United States. If you remember, the community organizer had his initial trip that he took, in which he bent down and apologized for what the United States had done. But that's not the way our president is leading, and I think that's an important in that direction.
I agree. I think the Trump doctrine here is significant, and I'd like to get your comments on this. I mean, what do you think about the "drive it out" language that the president used? Drive them out. 1-800-684-3110. Long, you want to grab a call or you want to take a comment? What do you want to do next?
Let's go ahead and take a call. Right. A lot of people hold for a while. Let's go to Andy in Philadelphia, line 6.
Andy, hi, Andy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I just want to say yesterday was a great day for Truth and News. It was a 1+3 day, meaning 12 o'clock your show plus 3 hours on Hannity, which was action-packed.
Thanks.
Filled with facts, gave people a ton of information in a 3-hour period of time. So anyone who can see the true picture of joining your organization because of your contact with the president and sharing the people's feelings, it's very vital.
Well, Andy, I appreciate you saying that. First, I want to thank Sean Hannity and his entire team. Linda's the executive producer and the whole team for letting us do that yesterday. We did do 4 hours of radio. Everybody in here did it. It was a long day, but a very productive day. And it was just to have that kind of platform available to us from time to time is great for the American Center for Law and Justice. And I'm glad, Andy, that you found it to be action-packed. We prepare a lot for these broadcasts. You know, we don't just walk in here and do it. As you know, we look at this in great depth and detail. I want to try to grab another call.
All right.
Or you got a comment you want to give me instead.
Let's go to William in Macon, Georgia.
Hey, William, go ahead.
Hey Jay, I got. First of all, I want to tell you this before I get to what I was going to say, but I believe that the Lord really set it up for you to be actually be a spokesperson right directly in front of President Trump. You know, in the time that you have to talk to him directly.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, we certainly couldn't have orchestrated it. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. But go ahead, I appreciate that, William.
Yes, sir. But you know what behooves me out of this whole situation? You know, it's bad enough that you got these radical terrorists doing these acts. or what makes it even worse is that you got local authorities, both foreign and domestic, that know these people are radicalized,
yes.
but yet they turn a deaf ear to the situation. So realistically, they're just as much responsible as the terrorists are.
Well, I mean, I said it, William. I said it on our broadcast. I said it when I was on with for Sean Hannity yesterday. And I'll say it again. I mean, I'm getting really sick of having to deal with it after the fact. The sweep comes through, Andy, and you and I are both government lawyers. And now we've got the network. When they knew it's inconceivable to me that we think that's okay, that after the fact they can arrest everybody.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. The idea is prevention, yeah. not trying to cure a situation that has become so volatile and bloody as we see in Egypt today. There again, I mean, we have to be vigilant about these things, and we have to stand firm, and the United States has to take the lead. President Trump is taking the lead. I applaud him for that.
But, Logan, you said something yesterday on when we were on with for Sean Hannity. As being in bold as those statements are, the media is immediately off them. Like, they're immediately off the story. I mean, the Egypt one's getting coverage, obviously, because it's another horrific incident. But they'll be off it, and it's going to be right back to the Russia
probe. It's
not
getting coverage like you'd expect it to be. Like Jordan said, this is something that we kind of write off the Middle East as almost, for some reason, they're not humans to a lot of the news media. And I don't really understand that, but that's just the truth. That's how it's treated. It's treated like the Manchester attack, obviously horrible, like one of the worst things you can imagine. More people dead.
Outside of Cairo.
New York City, specifically targeted, but no one really cares. But yeah, so the media will never, like I said before on the Sean Hannity show yesterday, is when it comes to the media, they have a narrative and they're willing to spin now. And that's how the media works right now, where there's not going to be that unifying moment. The president just has to come and do what he needs to do to eradicate terrorism, do what he needs to do, whether it's going to ruffle some feathers or not. He's already ruffled a lot of feathers. And to calm people down is just not going to happen. And honestly, it'll be a backlash against him for the people that do support him.
And then, so the political aspect of that, because I think Logan's right on the media. I mean, you're not gonna win the media over here.
Yeah.
You can fight it, and I'm willing to fight it out in the media. I'll go on all of them and fight it out. But the political process has to move forward here.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you can have people in the media on your behalf, but I think wasting your time trying to change the media is a waste of time. I think that the idea that you'll get anything positive, really, from the media, you may occasionally get a comment here or there, and then they'll turn on you the next minute. So even those, I think, are setups. They're teeing you up to take you back down. So the truth is, I think where the president needs to focus is now, when he gets back home, is on his domestic agenda. It's got to move forward. If it does not move forward, it will be a very difficult time for conservatives and for Republican candidates out there come 2018 to, again, talk about what they are running for. I think he sets up the big picture, but it's time for him to put the pressure on a Republican Congress and Republican
yep.
Senate. And you know, when I hear people like Mitch McConnell say, we don't have the votes immediately following, a CBO report, you have to wonder again how self-destructive Republicans are and how bad they are at being leaders. I think that's fair to say. It's the Democrats can talk a big game right now. The truth is, they can't even win elections when the Republican candidate physically assaults reporters and they lose that election.
Yeah.
So I think the bigger story, again, is that you can you have the numbers, get things done legislatively, and that's how you get victories. And the
yep.
media will have to cover that. They'll
yep.
have to cover if you really do replace the health care law.
All right, we're back here for another 30 minutes. Logan, let you know how you can get the entire hour of the broadcast.
That's right. If you lose us here, find us online, ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now. You can also find us on the ACLJ app, available on iTunes, available in the App Store. That's on your phone, on your iPad, wherever you get your apps. That's how you find it if you have an Apple device. You can also find us right now broadcasting, again, on ACLJ.org. Later on, archived on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. And again, on ACLJ.org, you can find all the information you need each and every day. We'll be right back with more Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast. So, horrific tragedy in Egypt, 28 dead, again at the hand of radical Islamists. And we're making the point on this broadcast that what happened in Manchester, horrific, also at the hands of Islamists, but those people are no different than the people in Egypt. And we made the point, and I think it's worth, media doesn't cover it the same way, but there are 28 dead Christians outside of Cairo. And they were targeted for one reason, because of their faith. But as in the broader context, Andy, you talked about this, they're targeted because this is the West. That's how they view this.
That's right. Christianity is a Western phenomenon, so to speak,
yes,
to them, as opposed to Islam, which is an Eastern phenomenon, and that's how they target. Anything that is Western, foreign to their indigenous, or what they believe to be their indigenous culture. But Christianity is not a Western. It's a phenomenon, of course, that was born and bred in the East, in Jerusalem, in the early churches where Christ preached. And died and was resurrected, and St. Paul and the disciples took up the word and preached it. So it's an Eastern thing. So it's a paradox. But it is viewed as something Western because we adopted it in the Western hemisphere, in the Western countries of Europe, and it became the basis of Greco-Roman civilization, Western civilization.
And Jordan, the targeting here, again, we talk about, and you talked about it before, the targeting of this is very specific. These are not random acts of violence. These are planned, targeted attacks with an impetus.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so this is here. It's the eve of Ramadan today. So the whole world is on watch for these attacks. And we've seen those attacks before. So, I mean, you know, we had a major attack in Jakarta, Indonesia. Doesn't get a lot of coverage either. Again, a majority Muslim country like Egypt, targeted, though, at individuals, and a lot of people die. I mean, and in this situation, though, targeted at Christians. But again, let me repeat for our audience that they consider the Manchester attack as targeting Christians because they see it as Andy keeps talking about, this East-West divide. When they see the United States as a Christian nation, unlike some of our political leaders and past political leaders, they do see it that way. And they see the UK as part of that as well.
Crusaders.
So the idea that we try to separate between these Coptic Christians targeted by an ISIS cell in Egypt and the concert goers targeted in the UK by an ISIS cell in England, and try to say, well, that's somehow different or less important, more important. All the human lives are the same value. But second, it is the same targets to ISIS. There may be, again, more ability for them to attack in a place like Egypt, more ability for them to attack in a place like Syria or Iraq. So it's more spectacular when it happens in England to the world. But the lives lost are no less
significant,
important. Yep. And the targets and the significance of those values, what they are about, are the same, even though I don't think the media would like to draw that parallel for the most part.
So Harry Hutchinson, director of policy for the ACLJ, professor of law. Let me ask you this, Harry. What do you think the messaging is that the Islamic State and their allies are trying to do? For instance, in Egypt, followed in Manchester, 3 days later, Egypt.
Well, essentially, Jay, the Islamic State and many Muslims generally subscribe to an ideology that believes that suicide bombing, indiscriminate killing in defense of Islam is justified. So they are advancing a vision of the caliphate.
Yep.
The caliphate that would be based largely on dead bodies, horrific tragedies. And so going forward, it's important for Americans to have the will to fight fire with fire. In other words, we need to implement a strong and unbreakable response to the threats posed by the Islamic State worldwide, particularly with respect to individuals in the Middle East or who have been to the Middle East recently.
Yep.
You see this with respect to the Manchester attack. The individual was in Libya recently. Perhaps he was in Syria. This is a continuing problem, and we need strong leadership to face the facts that are on the ground.
All right, Logan, we'll take calls and comments. We come back from the break. Program's going quick.
Absolutely. Give us a call. No lines are open right now, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. We'll also take some comments here in the next segment.
All right. Again, don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. ACLJ.org as we finish the month of May strong. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that.
Broadcast, everyone. That's from our friend Lee Greenwood, who played and sat in with the Jay Sekulow Band. I encourage you at the end of the broadcast, so those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to play that entire music video for you. So I want to do that as we celebrate Memorial Day and thank the families of the men and women that have given their lives defending our freedom, because we couldn't do it without you. We've got a lot of calls, and we need to get to them. We got our full panel here right now, so we're going to take some calls. Logan, take them in the order that you would like.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Julian, actually. This is a good one, who's calling in Tampa, Florida.
Hey, Julian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I want to thank you guys for all you do. Keep us all informed out here.
Appreciate it.
And I just had a couple. I had a comment, and a lot of people don't understand it, because I see a lot of comments about how do you stop the Islamic extremism and terrorism.
Yep.
And you really can't stop it. It's because it's an ideology. You can't kill the ideology. What we can do is control it and where it goes.
How would you, I know you were in the service, and appreciate your service to the country, and you were in the region. What would you do? What do you, because I thought the president's statement was very strong on driving, you know, the communities have to be engaged, which is going to your point of the ideology, the houses of worship where this is going on have to be engaged, pointing out the ideology. How would you do it?
Exactly how President Trump has said it. He hit the nail on the head with that. You have to drive it out. You have to give them nowhere to go.
Yep,
and you have the only way to stop it is to kill them. They'll kill you if you don't kill them.
Well, let me tell you something. I mean, first of all, again, Julian, thank you for your service. And I think what the president said in that one soundbite is a whole doctrine there. I mean, Jordan, I'm going to ask everybody on this. Jordan, your sense?
Yeah, I think it can be if you cut through our bureaucracy in America and, you know, empower the mindset more like Julian and less like the current. People who fill the halls of our State Department, our CIA, our FBI, our intelligence, these 15 other intelligence agencies that we have going on, who have given a pass to most in the Islamic world. The truth is, where are you driving them out from? Where is the safe haven that Julian talks about? In the United States, it's the mosque. The mosque are where people get radicalized. It's where they meet the recruiters. It's where they're put up with the recruiters. We know that. Online is a problem as well. In Europe, it's again the mosque. And then in the larger Middle East, of course, it's not just the religious leaders, but it's the political leaders as well who are encouraging this, whether it's at a local, regional, or even at the head of state level that encourages this kind of ideology. So it's different, but there are different places and different ways to yep. drive people out. I mean, the message needs to stop from the top in those countries where it's the leaders. Yep. It needs to be something where it's unacceptable for these imams to give radical sermons, whether or not they're endorsing ISIS or not, but radical sermons that encourage this kind of behavior, or at least justify it or give it some kind of cover.
So Harry, we're working on right now a document
yes.
To deal with taking what the president said, on because we don't want to just talk about it. We want to be able to engage it. Taking what the president said about driving them out of the houses of worship, driving them out of the communities, driving them out of your holy lands, drive them out, and turning that into a policy statement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, tell us about what that's going to look like.
Well, I think the first step, Jay, is to destroy and eliminate deep state bureaucrats who would hamper President Trump's agenda. That's number one. Number two, I think you have to defund terrorists, and you also have to deny them territory. That means unleashing the military, unshackling the intelligence services. So there are several steps that need to be accomplished in order to achieve President Trump's objective.
So, Andy, looking at this, from the problem has been we've looked at this from a prosecutorial standpoint instead of a war. And, you know, that's what we've now collecting the evidence after the fact. It's what President Bush said initially after 9/11, and we kind of, 8 years of the last administration, we drifted away from that. And this became now we can find out who did it after it happened. And Jordan made the point yesterday on radio, while they're violating the law as it is during their radicalization.
That's right.
Planning and plotting and acquiring the devices necessary.
And I think it's important thing that we recognize that we are at war. And we have constantly been at war with radical Islam. And the idea that it can be tolerated and that it can be amalgamated and made part of the melting pot of America is just not true. That's not the ideology that radical Islam preaches. It is not being part of the melting pot. It's being part of the salad bowl so that you can see each of the individual items and they stand out.
Yeah.
And that's not the idea. For example, your immigrant grandparents right. and mine, who came respectively from Russia, from Greece, and from places like that, who became part of the American culture and accepted it. This is not what radical Islam preaches.
So, Logan, I go back to your media point because I think it's important because we're trying to address this both from a policy standpoint, a legal policy standpoint. We're at the United Nations fighting this out. We're fighting the deep state bureaucrats at the State Department. We filed a massive lawsuit. We got a response yesterday that with massive document dump. Our team's going through that right now. The president made that very strong statement, which I think was the doctrine, and it got coverage when it was given. But now he comes back to the United States on Sunday to a media frenzy.
Well, I've seen more little clips and videos. It may have been a moment where something looked off with the president or where he's pushing somebody or kind of nudging someone. I've seen that more than I've seen that news article.
Drive him out of your house, drive him out of your place of worship.
I've seen that moment with the UN. It's a ridiculous thing that we've seen continually over and over and over again where they're taking these clips, and that's what they're using. 2 seconds here, 2 seconds here that we can use out of context instead of focusing on any sort of point that's happening that has any substance.
Which also means, though, Jordan, that the internal shop at the White House has to be able to respond.
Yeah, I mean, suppose there's a new story on Fox News today. That's where Steve Bannon has gone, is to try and put the response team together on this. That's the front of Fox News as we speak. So I think they are trying to get ahead of
it. Outside the White House or inside?
Inside.
Yep.
But again, how do we believe this story?
Who are the sources?
And I'd like to see it go into action. I mean, like, they've had enough time. Like, these guys are supposed to be masters at what they do, and they've let their president be basically characterized over and over and over again. And
not in good fun.
In a media. But yeah, and there's some talk, too. Is he taking advice as well? Because there's some imagery that's just too good for the media. They're not going to not show it.
Yeah.
So if you push them out of the way and you're the biggest guy in the room, which he usually is, it's going to look a little funny.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm not
sure. I kind of liked it.
But not an endearing funny.
No, but I kind of like, I'm glad at least where Americans were not afraid to do it.
All the media will recognize clipping it.
Yeah.
And they know that those kind of clips now get more views than a speech about radical Islamic terrorism.
Right. All right, let's grab a call here before the break.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Terry, who's calling in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Yep. You all did such a great job yesterday on Hannity's show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My husband and I listened to the whole thing, and we long to have the bigger version of you all, bigger platform. So
I appreciate that.
I'm calling today about the travel ban.
Yep.
I'm glad, I think, that it's going to go ahead and get to the Supreme Court. My concern is that they don't build up a good enough defense. They need to get the absolute best.
Yeah, so obviously. Let me just jump in here, Terry. Let me tell you, we are already working on our brief because I'm with you. We don't even have the Solicitor General confirmed yet, Harry. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, it's Noel Francis, who's a very good lawyer. It's not confirmed, and we can file briefs on that and make a big difference. Those amicus briefs play a huge role in the Supreme Court. Our briefs get cited. Even our friend of the court briefs get cited by the Supreme Court in opinion. So we got a team on that already. But first, you got to get them to hear it. I think they will. What do you think?
I think the Supreme Court will hear it. I also think the Supreme Court will review carefully the dissent in the Fourth Circuit opinion.
We're going to get into that next week on the broadcast.
Because the Fourth Circuit opinion itself is simply a cornucopia of righteous indignation.
That the president even had the nerve to do this.
Absolutely.
Even though the lawyer said, well, if Hillary Clinton was president and she did it, or Barack Obama, it would have been constitutional because Donald Trump did it. It's not. I'd like that legal analysis, Andy.
Well, I read about 20 pages of the opinion, and it was all I could take because, to quote a source that I don't usually quote, James Comey, I was more than mildly nauseated at what the Fourth Circuit had to say in its majority opinion. I thought it was one of the more awful opinions of a court that I have ever read.
That's going to be my holiday reading this weekend. So I will be getting to that, and we will have full analysis on that next week. All right, we're going to be here for the last segment. Phone lines are jammed, but Logan's going to take more comments. We will get some comments from folks on as well.
We will, absolutely. There's a lot of people, why is the media talking about this, what's happening in Egypt? Well, exactly the reason I've said it. So people do justify this the right way. All right, we'll be right back with more information, though. If you can get your phone calls in 1-800. 684-3110.
Did I see a line open up?
One line is open.
We've had like no lines open today, and now we do.
I mean, people have been on hold half an hour. We're
getting
to
everybody.
Guys. If you're on hold, Lynette, Gene, Sally, Steven, Drake, you're going to get on the air, as well as up the line is gone, but I'm sure some other people will open up. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard or get us a comment.
And don't forget, support the ACLJ. It's the last really weekend here, next couple of days into the next week, for us to meet our goal for May. Your support makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls and comments when we come back from the break in just a moment.
Here in America, God bless the USA.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. It's our last segment. We've got Andy Economo with us, Harry Hutchison, Jordan, me, Logan, and the whole team. Or a good part of the team, I'll say. Some others that are not with us today. But we're going to go and hit these calls because people have been holding. So hang on, folks. We're going to get to you. Let's go, Logan. We're doing quickly.
All right, let's just go in order. Let's go to Gene, who's calling in Kansas City, Missouri, on line 4. Thanks for holding.
Gene, you're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you guys do. My thought about this would be, why don't we cut off tourism and financial aid if their government won't help and
you're talking about Egypt?
Keep Christians safe? Yes, sir.
Well, the problem with that is Egypt is a major ally of the United States and a major ally of Israel, and if you cut off their funding on the security apparatus, you think it's bad now, Jordan, it gets a lot worse real quick.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so I think that is where all these issues, the funding specifically, that's I think key.
Yeah, I mean, you take the funding away from them, you're setting them up for failure here, and we do not want to be doing that. That's something I think, Harry, that's a mistake.
Absolutely, and it could lead to the collapse of the Sisi government.
Which you end up then with an Islamist government coming in, which is exactly what the Islamists want to have happen, Andy.
That's their ultimate aim, is to topple all governments that are not Islamist in nature and in orientation.
Yeah, we've already had that there.
Yeah.
We already had a Muslim Brotherhood temporary government that, again, people chose there, and then there were riots in the street to throw them out. I mean, it's a volatile time, but I think we have to choose between sometimes these strong men, and we have got to encourage them to utilize resources and say, if we're going to accept you as these, you know, kind of anti-democratic leaders, and they are to an extent. I mean, they're military leaders turned, you know, in coups. And if we're going to accept that and still be your ally, then when there's a bus of, 30 plus Christians, you better have your military securing it. I mean, we're not talking about, put the police and put the security and the military in the Coptic neighborhoods, in the churches. Scare those terrorists away, or at least fight back.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Sally in Houston, Texas. You're on the air. Sally?
Hi, Sally, go ahead.
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question for you. With Hillary stepping up her speeches with her against the resistance that she's formed, and Obama following Trump all around
Europe,
his trip, does that make America look weak and Trump look weak? And
I don't think anybody can say after this trip that America looked weak. I think that's kind of the last thing you do. But look, the resistance is strong. That's why we got to combat it. And Jordan was just mentioning this. You know, they're talking about setting up a war room inside the White House to deal with this. I think it's probably the right idea to really get this thing in a posture of moving forward. And I think that's exactly the way this should be done. You got to combat this, and you got to be aggressive on that. And we're doing what we can do, but they've got to do more. And I think they're going to start doing that.
Yeah, it's their job. And so, you know, President Obama's a free person. He could do it. It's unprecedented, and I think it's unusual. I don't like it, but you're not going to be able to stop him. And he's been fairly effective. Why is that? Because the White House team has been fairly ineffective, to say the least. They have. I think with a president who's given out these very strong remarks that would rally the American people, they've done a poor job of actually getting that message out. And if it's because the media will not allow, will just not get the message out anymore, then you've got to make more speeches.
Yep,
you got to make more speeches and spend less time trying to get the media to do a 5-minute good story. They're not going to.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Lynette in Long Island. You're on the air.
Hi, Lynette, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. I do pray for each of you and all of you regularly.
Thank you very much.
You asked us to weigh in on the president's speech. I really feel that it should go down in history with the Gettysburg Address and President Reagan's tear down that wall.
Well, I think it was a line, a statement that has some much more depth to it than simply the line itself. And we are developing that out right now, Harry, at the ACLJ.
Absolutely. And so there are several steps that we need to take to push Trump's agenda forward. And we will hopefully have something.
Because we think it's the right policy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In place by this weekend.
Yeah, so we're working on it even through the weekend. Let's go ahead and keep going, Logan. We got to get these folks.
All right, Drake in Columbus, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey, Drake.
Yes, hi, Jay. Here's my question. You know, what the anti-Trump people are doing, it's a freight train. It's way out ahead of us, or it's a bulldozer. It's already caused a ton of damage. And how do we take care of that irreparable damage? It's irreparable. We have Mueller. I think he might be hamstrung. He did hamstrung his agents at one time. I just heard that Bezos provided a cloud account to Brennan to post, you know, the
yeah, I looked at all this, Andy. You know, you look at, he's talking about the investigation there. I looked at this. I think that Mueller has to be very careful here. And you know, so far we said this on Hannity yesterday. I'm still trying to figure out what the crime is that they're investigating. Maybe there's something we don't know.
I've listened to Clapper. I've listened to Yates. I've listened
nothing.
To Brennan. I've listened to Comey. I've listened to everybody who is supposed to be all knowledgeable about crimes and federal offenses, and I haven't found anything in the United States Code that says collusion. What is collusion? I don't understand what that means.
That's why I think that there's a balance. You know, I obviously the story on Fox News right now on this White House war room was set up by the White House. They wanted this story. But in a sense, if you overplay that too much publicly, I mean, letting that come out as it needs to, you overplay that too much publicly, it looks like there is some war. It looks like you may be worried that there is something more serious. Did someone like with Clinton, he had to do this because he lied under oath, not because of what he did.
True.
But because he lied under oath, and then he needed a lot of lawyers. So when you put these teams together so publicly, or at least let these stories out there, and if it's in Fox News, I would think that's more coming from White House sources.
Yep.
To me, that gives a signal to the liberal media that you've got something to fight about.
Yeah.
Not saying that you don't have to have the team,
I think this goes back to Logan. What you said is that getting messaging out is so critical.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to make sure that either get messaging out or just forget about it
and just go do it. On. Well, that, and that's why I think this combination with Jordan Logan are saying there. I think it's right.
Let's keep going. Let's try to get one more analyst. Yep. Let's go to Steven. Hold 20 minutes. Newport Beach, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Steven, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Jay and team, for speaking the truth.
Sure.
It's just amazing. The media certainly is not doing that. You know, I love the term drive them out. I thought that was powerful. But it seems to me it only has teeth if we back it up.
Correct.
You know, part of the campaign was promise was, hey, we're going to go in and carpet bomb. We're going to take their families out. You know, we certainly have ISIS sites.
I think you got to take the phrase "drive them out" and now develop a policy behind it. And we are working even this weekend on doing exactly that. So we're taking it. I think we can get the last call in. I want to be able to do it.
Scott in Florida, you're on the air.
Scott, real quick.
Okay, Jay, thanks. For liberals, the Constitution is becoming more and more unconstitutional. So figure that one out.
Yep.
But here's the question. You know, with this travel ban, they say it violates the Religious Freedom Clause in the Constitution. So where did they decide to be constitutional?
Yeah, all of a sudden they got a constitutional crisis out of nothing, because the only thing they could try to figure out of the way, I think it's absurd. We're evaluating that. It will go to the Supreme Court. We will be heavily involved. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to get into that. It's a 220-page opinion. So we're, as they say, digesting that over the weekend, if you can imagine. And although it made Andy mildly nauseous. All right, folks, that's going to do it for our broadcast today. Thanks for being with us again. Enjoy the Memorial Day holiday, and remember those men and women that gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms and liberty. The ability for us to do what we're doing right now is because of those men and women defending freedom in the United States and around the globe. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Those on Facebook and Periscope, we got something special for you coming right up.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.